The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 2 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Margaret Doviak. Here are today's headlines. Getting young Quebecers back to work. Artists shine a light on domestic violence. And is Big C worth the money we put into it? New funding support for youth employment was announced this morning. Young workers have been especially impacted by the pandemic. Therefore, Quebec's government put forward new measures to help them get them back to school and find jobs. Véronique Morin joins us live in the studio with more. So Véronique, it was announced this morning. Can you tell me more?
Yes, Minister of Labour Jean Boulet just announced that the government would increase the funding for youth employment centres by $167,000 in 2021-2022. This amount is targeted to the young workers in the Laurentians region and was launched this morning in La Chute at the Argenteuil Youth Employment Centre. So Boulet hopes for this amount to help with the support of young workers in this region to take them out of isolation. And Boulet also explained that currently in Quebec, 200,000 young workers are neither in school, in training, nor working.
They also announced other amounts for youth employment yesterday.
Exactly. Yesterday morning, Boulet was in Laval to announce an increase of $6.75 million for the funding of the youth employment organizations of the province. And this followed another announcement that was made back in June, which guaranteed a total of $32 million for these organisms. So the goal of youth employment centers is to help workers aged between 16 and 35 with their employment goals. And a representative of the Argenteuil Center this morning explained that specifically their help in the region is related to job retention. She often sees young workers easily finding jobs, but losing them as easily, which leads them to get multiple jobs in the same month.
What impact can such funding have on the economy?
So these measures will help with the current labor shortage crisis happening in Quebec. All kinds of workers are missing all over the province. And for researcher Emna Braham from the Quebec Institute, this funding is part of a larger effort to have a greater number of workers in all different job employments in the province. So here's what she had to say.
We need to really maintain and increase the participation of different groups of population, different groups of Quebecers that need to be better integrated to the labor market.
Also for Bram, another concern relates to long-term unemployed workers. She explained that this group includes a large diversity of workers, so young workers, but also from workers from all age groups. Therefore, Bram believes this is the next issue the government needs to tackle.
Thank you, Véronique. A new study suggests that children aged 1 to 5 are showing more symptoms of anxiety and depression. Along with an increase in behavioral disorders and stress, the pandemic might have affected children's mental health. Here's Kathleen Gannon with the story.
A recent study published in the Observatoire des Tout Petits, an organization focused on young children and development, reported increased levels of anxiety disorders and depression among children under 5. While these findings could be attributable to the stressful conditions of the pandemic, kindergarten teacher Cheryl Sherman believes these behaviors were seen earlier than the last year and a half.
I think we've always had issues with children in the different developments, that, you know, social, emotional, academic, whatever it might be. We've always had issues. I believe that maybe now we're looking more for them. There's been new creative ways to figure out what's wrong with the kids. And these issues that they had before are maybe coming to light because we're looking at the...
However, the pandemic has increased wait times for care that many young children and their families are in need of. Monica LaPlante of the Association of Early Childhood Educators of Quebec thinks this could impact mental health in young children.
Whether they could be on the autism spectrum or needing a behavior analyst, there's a long waiting list. And that's due to the COVID. So I find that is an issue for children in childcare, not having to get the needs met when that would help us out here. So that's one example of how I could see the fact that there's such a long waiting list.
Ideally, in normal circumstances, children would get the care they need as soon as possible to limit long-term impediments to levels of development.
I can say that's really great now is that I think people are beginning to realize that early intervention is best and don't wait until they're kindergarten or grade one to deal with their issues. And they're looking at the children younger to help them develop so that when they get into kindergarten, you know, we know the accommodations we have to make for them.
Right.
And that's a benefit, early intervention.
Providing structure during a time of such unpredictability has helped young children transition back into in-person learning.
Come in and the children have become very independent, they're resilient. I don't know situations at home, how that looks, but things we've created a really good routine and established guidelines for everybody to follow that is really working out for us.
Overall, children in Montreal seem to have adapted well to this unprecedented year. In NDG, I'm Kathleen Gannon for Concordia News.
Anxious seniors can finally relax. As of today, Quebecers age 80 and over can get a third shot of the COVID-19 vaccine. On Friday, those 75 and over can start booking their third shot. Those 70 and older will follow on Tuesday. However, the new dose must be administered at least 6 months after the second dose. This new initiative comes after drops in vaccine protections have been observed in those 80 and over by Quebec's Immunization Committee. The Canadian Blood Services is looking to lift certain restrictions aimed at gay and bisexual men. They are looking to make changes in the questionnaire. Those questions currently target gender and sexual orientation. Instead, they want to focus the question more towards sexual history and behaviors. Sarah Dixon reports.
Alex Corman is a doctor practicing out of Lachine. He agrees that the questionnaire is a bit outdated.
I think this is an appropriate development. There's been a lot of strides, as I said, in the science since the 1980s, so it's about time that there's some strides in the policies as well.
Even though all blood is tested, the agency says that no test is 100% reliable. Dr. Koyman agrees and believes asking the sexual history is still important, but he also says improvements to testing means the questionnaire could also be updated.
As well, the testing has come a long way. It used to be 3 months since the last sexual exposure to have an accurate test, and now that window has gone down to about 4 weeks.
Currently, men are asked if they had sex with a man in the past 3 months, and women are asked if they've had sex with a man who's had sex with another man in the past year. Health Canada has said it can only change the rules if evidence proves that there is no increased risk. Dr. Koyman believes the change in the questionnaire would still keep the blood supply safe because sexual behavior is the issue, not orientation.
A heterosexual male who's had unprotected sex with several partners in the past few months would probably have more of a risk of having or transmitting HIV than a homosexual man who's been in a monogamous relationship for several years.
Changes to the questionnaire were promised by Justin Trudeau back in 2015. In the recent election, he made the same promise, saying changes were imminent. Blood Services Canada is expected to officially file their request in the next few weeks. Sarah Dixon, Concordia News.
A group of Montreal artists raised awareness about domestic violence and feminicide in a marathon of words. This movement will last for 12 days and is hosted by a coalition of shelters for female victims of abuse. Brianna Sherman joins us live from the Plateau. Brianna, what are the hopes of this project?
The organizers hope to help women take back their power individually, but also collectively, and they believe that words have a sort of repairing and freeing effect, which is why they chose this kind of event. In the 2019-2020 year, they housed 2,700 women and 2,200 kids. So they really have an impressive momentum going that they hope to keep up.
Which artists were in attendance?
So three of the eight artists that will be featured attended this morning, and I got to sit down with them afterwards and hear their personal connections to domestic violence and why they chose to participate, which was really meaningful as an outsider. Rebecca Deraspe is a playwright who wrote a 6-minute text for this event, and she hopes it will get the conversation going about domestic violence. She wants the message to reach women across Quebec and Canada, and also believes that art is a good way of spreading this message.
And I would love that some person like take courage of this and to go to ask help.
And where will we be able to go to support this movement and enjoy the artist's work?
So it'll start on November 25th and last until December 6th. And everyone is welcome to attend the showcase at Club Soda. And you can buy your ticket online. The event is called, as you said before, a marathon of words, so we'll be able to enjoy things like music and poetry from these artists. And all of their works will showcase aspects of feminism and solidarity.
Thank you, Brianna. Four students were told to lower their pants last Friday at the Lasalle High School. It happened during a search for vaping products at the Lasalle Community Comprehensive High School. The students were all aged between 13 and 16. The school board said the incident will be investigated. It also stressed that students were not asked to remove their underwear. According to school policy, students are banned for bringing illicit substances to campus, including vaping products. A funeral will be held on Monday for an Innu elder whose body was found Saturday morning near Capitol Square. Elasapai Putukuk traveled 2,000 kilometers to Montreal for medical treatment. The cause of death has yet to be confirmed. However, what is certain is that Putukuk was not the victim of a crime. She was described as a lovely soul by someone who knew her. Homeless advocates say more should be done to avoid deaths like Putukuk's. What happens when ballots are counted and the numbers are run during elections? Abigail Jersey talked with Election Canada spokesperson Natasha Gauthier, and according to her, this is how Election Canada looks at spoiled ballots.
Like, a spoiled ballot doesn't mean, like, you wrote, I hate this election, you know, like you, like a protest vote. Like, we don't count anything that has, any ballot that has, either it's illegible, the person, like, put it in the box and didn't mark anybody. They wrote their X outside of the little circle, you know, anything that makes their ballot, like, basically ineligible to be counted because it doesn't meet the requirements for a marked ballot, or it wasn't marked, or it wasn't marked properly.
What errors do occur in the counting process?
Because there's different steps to the counting that is designed specifically to identify and eliminate any human error that may occur in the counting process. So, you know, typos happen, math errors happen.
What happens next?
After election night, or after that count is finished, if it takes longer than election night, after that initial count, returning officers in each riding have to validate those results. So there's like a bit of an audit that happens. It's not necessarily a detailed recount of every single ballot, but they look at the numbers, right? They look at the tallies, and they look at the patterns. And then based on that process, then we update those results with validated results.
Is there ever a big difference between initial results and recounted or validated results?
The difference between like election night results and validated results will often change, usually not by very much, but they'll catch little errors. But also all of that, and the other thing to remember is those two steps always happen in front of witnesses. So they always have observers from the candidate campaigns and the parties in some cases.
That was Abigail Jersey speaking with Natasha Gauthier from Election Canada. Yesterday was your last chance to take a Bixi bike for a ride until spring next year. Bixi Montreal closed its 2021 season with record numbers. 255,000 people borrowed a bike this year, with more than 100,000 having done so for the first time. But despite this growth, Bixi still heavily relies on public funding from the City of Montreal to keep its operation afloat. Here's Yannick Lepage with the story.
4.8 million Montrealers used a Bixi bike this season. The organization who invested in new bikes for this season and changed its pricing model is very happy with the outcome. It's exceptional the amount of people who use the Bixi this season, especially the amount of people who use it for the first time. But Bixi Montreal still heavily relied on public funding to keep its operation afloat. It required $4.6 million from the City of Montreal last year. For the Canadian Taxpayer Federation, it's not an amount that the City of Montreal can afford.
This year alone, the city needs to sign $300 million in order to be able to close its budget. The next year, there's another $200 million deficit that they're projecting. So at the moment, we simply do not have the money for that.
Pixie Montreal says that when you compare it to other public transport services, it's much cheaper for the city. If you look at all the public transportation services, there's a contribution from the public that is required. But if you look at it per kilometer, Pixie Montreal is much cheaper than other services. Pixie Montreal says that its priority is to increase its service, and for right now, the priority is not to be profitable. For Concordia News, this is Yannick Lepage.
A shiny new award for Quebec playwrights, a full house for Queer Cinema for Palestine, and a new Adele album out of heartbreak. Curtis Savage joins us to talk about everything arts.
Adele performed an exclusive one-night-only special with CBS last night, revealing four new singles off her upcoming album titled 30. Symbolizing her 30th year around the sun, the album focuses primarily on her divorce in 2019. The new LP is set for release this Friday. Cinema Politica held a showing for Queer for Palestine last night as part of a 10-day international film festival supporting cultural and queer identity. The festival was timed in protest with the Tel Aviv LGBT International Film Festival, who has been criticized for being superficial allies of the queer community. Four short films were presented showing the intricacies and similarities that can be found between the queer and Palestinian community.
There hasn't been a ghost sighting in 30 years.
I'm afraid of no ghosts. Well, neither are Paul Rudd, Bill Murray, and the cast of Ghostbusters Afterlife, which hits theaters this Friday. This time around, a mother and her two children's lives get pretty spooky when they discover a connection to the original Ghostbuster gang. Old and new fans can prepare for a wacky, wild, and ghoulish time.
Life is just a blink. It is one heartbeat.
Scotty, beam me up. Just kidding, Scotty's not here, but the fourth season of Star Trek Discovery is here. This time around, we see space protagonist Michael Burnham, played by Sonika Martin Green, take the helm as the new captain for the space crew. The USS Discovery spaceship makes landing this Thursday on Paramount Original. Michel Tremblay and André Brassard were awarded for their contributions to live performance in last night's Canadian Theatre Critics Award. The two Quebecers were awarded the Herbert Whitaker Award for their contributions to Canadian theatre, dating back to 1968, with plays like Les Belles Soirs and Hosanna. That's all I have for the arts. Back to you, Margaret.
Thanks, Curtis. Snoopy is soaring to new heights. A replica of the beloved Pooch from the Peanuts comic strip will fly on board the Artemis 1 in early 2022. The Artemis is an uncrewed NASA flight test of the Space Launch System rocket and Orion spacecraft. The voyage will be around the moon. Snoopy will share his cabin with a mannequin, silver Snoopy pins, and a pen nib from the Peanuts studio. For his safety, Snoopy will wear a custom orange flight suit, complete with gloves, boots, and a NASA patch. Grab your jackets and umbrellas. Freezing rain is expected on Wednesday and Thursday. However, don't worry, things are expected to clear up on Friday. At least, daytime highs are expected to stay between 2 to 12, 11. However, grab a warm sweater as nighttime lows will drop to minus 4. That's your news to 11:33. Thank you for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Margaret Daviak.